The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Long Island, and welcome to DDI and Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, and again, so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. My guest this morning is Dr. Samuel Odom. Dr. Odom is an author and co-author of over 200 journal articles and book chapters and has edited 10 books on early childhood intervention and developmental disabilities. He is the former director of the Frank Porter Graham Child Development at UNC North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where he remains as a senior research scientist. And importantly, throughout his career, Dr. Odom's research and scholarship has focused on issues related to inclusion of children and youth with disabilities. That's a mouthful, but there's a lot to say, Dr. Odom. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks for making this time. You know, because the body of your work is so large, it's almost difficult. It is difficult to know exactly where to begin, but one of the reasons that we reached out is to hear a little bit about your most recent research. And from what I have known about you and read about you, this is informed by a lot of your work, not only as a researcher, but also as a teacher and some of the work you've done previously. So maybe you could speak to that just a little bit.
Okay, sure. So so our current research is taking for children with autism is taking place in middle schools. So we are looking at the effects of two different types of curriculum or programs. One that focuses on social competence and developing friendships, and a second that focuses on what we call executive function or thinking skills or planning, being flexible. We're comparing those two because we think that they will have different outcomes for children, and so that we'll see sort of different types of effects for each. And both are areas that children and youth with autism often experience challenges, either in making friends or challenges in schoolwork, organization, being flexible within a school setting. So we're thinking both types of programs are going to be beneficial for those middle schoolers who have autism, but in different ways.
Interesting. And it's funny, as you introduce, mention the two approaches, it sounds to me like they're not really mutually exclusive, are they? I mean, they seem like there would be some overlap there, no?
There is overlap, or there may be overlap. That's one of the things that we'll find out. So by saying two different approaches, so we have two different sets of schools where those programs are happening. So a single child doesn't get two approaches, but we think there will be some overlap. So for making friends and social competence, that does require some organization, and for being successful in a school setting, activities there are group activities that require cooperation between peers in those settings. So we think there will be some overlap, and then but primarily kind of distinct sort of outcomes for children. From our perspective, I think both of those programs would be useful in school settings. And they, as it turns out, just from a research perspective, the two programs are very similar in structure, in that they're both group-based programs, and they involve about the same amount of teacher time. So we can set them up as contrasts or controls for one another for the amount of time a teacher spends with the student. So it's just a kind of a research reason for picking those two, and in addition to them being beneficial for middle school students.
The difference between the two approaches would be helpful to hear just a little bit more about that. I mean, sure. Is it that the teacher in the social competence program is emphasizing more collective social friendship activities where the other is more independent and more individually based decisions?
Yeah.
Is that part of what's happening?
That's part of what's happening. The social competence program is called the PEERS program, and it was developed by Liz Laugesen at UCLA. It's a long history of research, and it's a group-based program where different types of social skills are introduced, practiced. There's work outside of the program for children and for these young adolescents to use the things they learn in those group settings in social situations, like in their school or in their community or with friends that they have or acquaintances that they have outside of the group. The executive functioning program is called Unstuck and On Target, developed by researchers at Children's Hospital in Washington, D.C. And it focuses on flexibility in thinking as applied in academic settings. So it's also group-based, but group-based meaning that a group of middle schoolers will come together and participate in some lessons, but also take those skills that they learn back into their classroom to use during often academic times that are happening. And there's a focus on again thinking flexibly, acting flexibly, not getting stuck on a particular idea or kind of behavior. So just the type of things that any student needs when they're in middle school in the general education curriculum.
I think I'm getting a good sense of what the emphasis in the two approaches might be. In a little more granular way, what kind of exercises or work or activities would lend themselves to some mastery of these different skills for the two groups? What does it look like to bring out greater social competence, or in the other group, greater flexibility?
I think for the PEERS program, a couple of examples might be introducing yourself to a peer in an appropriate way, listening to what the peers have to say, classmates have to say in conversation, and not dominating, responding to bullying that may happen in a classroom or a school situation, and doing that in an appropriate way that may lead to a successful sort of resolution of whatever that conflict or bullying may be. And those are introduced and discussed, talked about in the settings. Sometimes for some, they're videotaped scenarios, and then the students will take that kind of knowledge and information back to either home or to the classroom, and they may have homework is not a great term, but practice that happens outside of the classroom. And for Unstuck, there may be practice in doing a lesson that may be hard for them or frustrating for them, and being able to appropriately ask for help and from their teacher or their peers, or think creatively about how they might deal with a situation that might be difficult in an academic setting.
You know, as you suggested, homework may be not the greatest term, but I can easily understand why it would need a strong applied component for it to land. Let's stay with that, though. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, let's pick right up and talk a little bit about what the research itself looked like, how it was designed, and some preliminary thoughts about where it's going. You're listening to DDI and Autism on 103.9 FM. My guest is Dr. Samuel Odom, scholar, researcher, and the subject is different approaches for developing the minds and social competencies of kids on the spectrum. Stay with us. Welcome back, Long Island. You're listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Romas. To continue my conversation with Dr. Samuel Odom on the subject of supporting kids around social and intellectual development. Dr. Odom, we left off and we're talking a little bit about your research and a different emphasis between two groups, one focusing on social competency and the other on executive functioning. We're just about to tell us a little bit about what the research looked like, how of the research, how you picked your subjects, you know, the number of them, the methodology. So, hey, give us a window in.
Oh, sure. So both of these areas, social, making friends, developing social competence, and then also planning and organizing, being flexible in your thoughts are challenges sometimes for students with autism. So what we're hoping or what we plan is that our groups will build strengths in those areas for those students. So the students, the research is located in Chapel Hill, Central North Carolina, and also in San Diego. So in those locations, we invite schools to be involved in our research. We describe what we're doing. And then as teachers and schools are interested, then we then take the next step of inviting students to be involved in the research and their parents. So as the students give their permission and are willing to participate, then at that point we involve them in the groups and social skills groups, and we collect pre-test data, information about children's or students, either their social competence, their awareness, their ideas about developing friendships, and then also data about their participation in academic subjects, their flexibility in thinking, how well they handle situations that may be frustrating for them. We also observe students in their classrooms to determine how that executive functioning, those skills are used in their classrooms, how well they participate in the programs, and then also during lunch periods to see about how the social interactions are occurring among peers during those lunch periods. And we that information we collect at the beginning of the program, and then again at the end of the program. And the programs, each of the programs, take about a semester to complete. So the beginning of the semester, we collect that information, and again at the end of the semester. And so that will, it's a, what in research are called a randomized clinical trial. So the schools are randomly assigned to different conditions. And we also have what we call the services as usual group. So those are, which is really sort of a delayed, I won't say it's a delayed intervention condition, but at the end of the semester, we offer teachers who are in those schools that are in a services as usual or kind of a control setting, their choice of whether they'd like to receive training on the PEERS program, social competence program, or the UNSTOP program, the executive functioning program. So we provide that training for them also. It's just delayed. And this research is based on, as I mentioned, the research that has been conducted both at UCLA and at Children's Hospital more broadly. And it's an example of how we as applied researchers are trying to bridge that gap between scientific findings and research and its application in school settings. So the work that we have done at North Carolina and are doing in San Diego is all school based. We take the research that appears in journals and translate it into practices that can be used by teachers in school settings. Over the years, we've conducted, and I'm switching topics a little bit from that specific study to the work that we've done on identifying evidence-based practices for students with autism. So over the years, we've conducted three reviews to identify practices that are supported by research, that have solid research behind the practices, and in the last review we identified 28 practices that teachers could potentially use when they're developing individual programs for students. For those practices, we've also so that research is located to the National Clearinghouse on Autism Research and Practice at our UNC Chapel Hill site, the Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute. For those practices, each of the practices, we have developed online modules that are free for teachers to use and to access, and so for each of the 28 practices, we've created those e-learning modules, as well as others that could be used by paraprofessionals. And I can talk more about what those look like as we kind of continue our conversation.
Yeah, I hope you will, Dr. Odom, for so many reasons, because I have, to the extent that these practices ensure efficacy and ensure that what we're doing as treatment providers are grounded in real science and are more likely to have good outcomes, they're going to be really useful. And so I know our listeners are going to want to hear more. So a request, I'm going to ask you to come back next week, please. I want to continue this conversation, of course. Two things. I want to circle back a little bit for listeners who might want to know just a little bit more about the early research that we talked about, the number of subjects and what the expectation is in terms of the two groups that we talked about. And then, because that's such a nice link to what you're also suggesting, that it's really important to be an application of whatever we're doing, that whatever we're doing is done right. So let's conclude right on that one note. I'm just so glad you'll be coming back. You're listening to DDI and Autism on 103.9 FM. My guest is Dr. Samuel Odom. Be sure to join us next week for our continued conversation to learn more about not only recent research, but what it means to have effective empirical practices to apply evidence in ways that have meaning. See you next week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.